Song of Solomon chapter 2. He says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge ye, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. I thought tonight as I came in, they were doing some things in the fellowship hall, and I looked through the window, through the lattice of the window, and I saw what they were doing in that building. And they looked and saw me outside and were waving. The Lord looks through the lattice of the window, and there are times that you and I are allowed to see him through that window of opportunity. What a blessing that is. Verse 10. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. That's the Song of Solomon chapter 2, verses 1 through 17, if correctly read. There are two verses tonight that has a phrase that has grabbed my attention for the past few weeks. It's found in verse 10. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. In verse 13, at the end of the verse, again, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. It'd be good to break down that entire phrasing, but there's just two words the Lord wants me to look at tonight, and it is the words, come away. In fact, I feel like we need to shorten it maybe just to one word tonight. It is the word, come. Now, the story of the Song of Solomon is a literal story, I believe, between a shepherd king by the name of Solomon and a little Shulamite girl that he fell in love with. And oh yes, I've heard many people say, well, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and what's the importance and the relevance of the Song of Solomon? But it's in the canon of Scripture. And for all I know, the one true love that Solomon had of all those women was this little Shulamite girl. She was just a simple, little, unlovely girl to the world. But he saw something in her, something that made him fall in love with her, willing to do whatever it took to make her his. And this story goes back and forth, and it's wonderful. What a beautiful love story. I believe not only is it a story between the shepherd king and the little Shulamite girl, but I believe it's an allegory, in fact, representing the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Nothing about the church that the world would love. nothing significant about us that would make us stand out, other than the fact that Jesus loved us and gave his life for us that we might be saved. In fact, that word come away, it just jumps off the page at me because Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. As I sat here tonight listening to the choir sing, the Lord was reminding me, and the word come away, those words keep coming to me. Remember Noah. God was going to flood the earth with judgment. And when Noah built the boat and it was all complete and ready, God spoke to Noah and he said, come thou. He's saying, come away. Get out of the world and get on board the boat because judgment's coming. And God sent all those animals. I don't know if they heard God say come, but somehow he led them to get on the boat. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. I thought about Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, where Isaiah wrote, writing the words for God, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying, come away from that life of sin and that life of putridness and come with me. And though you do have sin, let me wash all your sins away and make you mine. I thought about that Isaiah chapter 55. Turn over there. We're close. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. He simply said, come. Luke chapter 14, they prepared a supper. I think it's verse 37 or so. He said, come now, for all things are made ready. I want to say tonight before I preach, I'm not super spiritual. God's been doing a work here tonight, and I pray you've been obedient to his voice. Because if you have been, you've been blessed already in the service. And we literally could go home right now and you could say, boy, we had a good meeting tonight. In fact, we didn't just have a meeting, we had church tonight. We worshiped, we were obedient, we prayed. We've done what God would have us to do. But there's time for the preaching. And what he's saying to somebody is, I want you just to come away with me. You hear me? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to say, well, God's getting ready to kill somebody off tonight and we're getting ready to have a death. It might be me if that's true, but that's not what he's revealed to me. What he's saying is, somebody, you're just in a horrible place. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. Man, you don't really want to be in that situation. But you know the reality of life is you've got to face it tomorrow or sometime this week, and what's going to change? But the Lord says to me tonight, you go, it's so strong in my mind and my heart. You go, you tell my people, I want them just to get in a little place with me. Just to come away. Just to come away. And we can fellowship just for a little bit. Oh, I like that, don't you? So there are seven times in the Gospels and New Testament here that I want to look at where the Lord says to his bride, I just want you to come and let's just get away for a bit. And I just want to look at those real quick, a simple Bible study. I want to begin in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28. Many of you could preach this message rather than me. I want us to look first of all, in Matthew 11 and verse 28. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's not one person here tonight that your burden is too heavy for him to carry. There's not one person here tonight that could present a load to him that he could not take it right away. Pick it up and bear it to where it needs to be borne to, and relieve you and give you rest. You see what he's saying? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor. When Jesus says come, it is a leaving where you are and going to where he is. Preacher, I can't get there to where he is. You see, faith responds in the heart. And the heart responds to the Lord. In your heart you say, Lord, this is my burden. This is my care. This is my load. I cannot bear it. I've toiled. I'm weary. I'm tired. I can't take it. Another step. He says, come to me. But Lord, I can't go any further. Give it to me. Your heart, give it to me. Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's saying to somebody tonight, I just want you to come. I just want you to come and give me your burden. I want to say to you tonight, church, I can't help you bear your burden. My wagon's got its own load. I can pray for you, but I cannot bear your burden. But we have one who can bear all our burdens all at the same time and give us rest for our weary soul. Thank God for one who says, I want it. Give it to me. I don't want my bride to have to bear a load that she's not able to bear. The bridegroom says, come away and give me your troubles. I want to look at this in John chapter 1 and in verse number 39. John chapter 1 and verse number 39. Jesus' public ministry is just starting. John the Baptist has seen him and said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. There are two disciples in verse 35 of John that began to follow Jesus because they heard, according to verse 36, John said again, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. Preacher, what's the significance of that? Read on. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. We have two disciples. And they said, Master, where dwellest thou? He says, come, I want you to see. It means leave where you are. Leave the things that you've been doing and draw closer to me. You see, faith is not just about the heart responding, but it is also, faith is also about the eyes seeing him. And when the eyes see him, and we begin to follow him, and we get closer to him, the more satisfied we become. Am I the only one here to say, I tell you what, I am not satisfied. No, not with my walk with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. But my walk with Jesus, I'm not satisfied there. I want to see more. Amen. The only way we're going to see more is to come away from where we are and see him where he is. But preacher, he's in heaven. No, no. I'm not talking about sitting on a lofty throne here. I'm talking about seeing him in his holiness and in his righteousness and spending time. They abode with Jesus that day. They spent time with Jesus to see where he was. They studied his character. They studied his conduct. Hey, these are men that they realized that these were unlearned and ignorant men, but they knew that these men had been with Jesus. I'm telling you what, if you'd come apart from the world and you'd see Jesus the way he wants you to see him, I'm telling you, you'll leave a lot of your troubles behind and you'll become a better person of greater character and of greater Christian conduct. Jesus has invited you. You may say, preacher, I'm not interested in that. Well, I am. Because I'm tired of worldly living. And I'm tired of devilish distractions. If we just get closer to him and see him as he is. Andrew was one of those two. And the very first thing he did when he left out of seeing Jesus, he went and found his brother and said, we found the Messiah that is called Christ. God will give you a greater ability to share the gospel than you've ever had before if you just come apart and spend time with him and see. Amen. Faith is the eye which looks to Christ. Faith. We walk by faith. We see by faith, not by our sight. In the book of John chapter 7, we see a third coming away. In John chapter 7, and verse number 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You see, tonight only Jesus can satisfy a parched soul. You remember John chapter 2, there was that woman, or John chapter 4, there was that woman, let's flip back there. There was that woman that was at the well in John chapter 4, and Jesus in verse 13 said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. You see, he says, I want you to come away from the wells of the world, and I want you to drink of a well that'll satisfy your parched soul. You see, I want to say tonight that faith is the hand that reaches out to receive the gifts of God. Not just a heart responding and an eye seeing by faith, but it's an outstretched hand. Brother David, I'm going to ask you tonight to stand. I want you to hold this, preacher, and I want you just to turn around this congregation. In here is a lot of burdens and a load. There's no way tonight, if I say to the preacher, I have a word for you, how are you going to hold it? Your hands is full with a load that you can't bear. If you had to answer those prayer requests, you can't. And if your hands are full, you can't get what you need. You may be thirsty. There may come a time I'm thirsting for the Word of God. And just like we have water, and he comes to say, I want to give you water, Brother David. I want to quench your thirst. I want to satisfy your soul. Unless you've got your hand out to receive that gift of God, you're not going to be able. Are you with me? I want to say to you tonight, thank you, Brother David. He's telling us in the Word of God. He says, I want you to, look at the verse number 37. Come unto me and drink. You're not going to be able to drink if your hands are full with all that the world has and all that you're burdened with. Set that down. Get yourself a clean glass and get filled with the Spirit of God. Can I read to you out of Psalm 42? Beautiful, beautiful verses in Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You know what he's saying right now to somebody here? Somebody here says, oh, preacher Darren, I'm so thirsty for a moving of God. I'm so thirsty to see some things in my life change. But I'm panting as a hart after the water brooks for God to do something in my life. And you know what he's saying tonight? It's available. Just, I want you to come away with me to be where I am. And take of me, I am living water. I can fill you with the Spirit of God. May some of you, you've got the Spirit of God, but didn't filled with it, you've never had it. Preacher, what do you mean? You're talking about me doing crazy? No. I'm talking about just like you go down to the fueling station when your car gets empty and you pull over on the side of the road there and you put in your credit card or you get ready to pay about $50 and you fill your tank up so you can drive about 300 or 400 miles down the road. You've got just enough wisdom to fill up your car tank. But my friend, inside of you, there's a well where God dwells and he wants to fill that. You'll spend more time going to a fueling station here on earth than you do to the house of God getting filled with the Spirit of God. Some of you are just satisfied to sit here. There ought to be somebody say, oh, the more I sit here, the more I want him. The more I hear about him, the hungrier for him I get. The more you share with me about him, the thirstier for him I get. Preacher Dan, I'm thirsty for the Lord. He said, I'm available. Let me tell you something. Not every time that we have an evening or a morning worship service, is it really worship? It's service, but I don't know about worship. But there's just times when he says, I want you to come away with me. And you sit on a pew, but you feel like you've left the earth. And you're just flying with him. And all the troubles and the cares of tomorrow and yesterday have just passed away. And you're just basking in his grace and his mercy and his love. And oh, what a sensational place to be. Want to be there all the time. One day we will. One day we will. But tonight I believe he says to somebody, come away. And I want you to drink this living water. While I'm close, let's turn to John 21 in verse number 11. We see that Jesus is resurrected. His disciples have gone back to fishing. And the Lord shows up. And the Bible says that when they came back to the land, they saw a fire and there was coals. There was fish and there was bread. Jesus said in verse 10, now where'd he get them fish? He has meat that you know not of. Oh, I'm going to shout. And he says, I'm giving this to you. You leave all that out there and you come ashore with me. And I've got some fish laid here. Look what he says to him. He says, bring of the fish which you've now caught. These are not spiritual fish Jesus has laying there on the fire. Those are real, tangible fish that Jesus has laying there. He said, you bring your fish, I bring my fish, and we're going to have fellowship. Look at the next verse. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. They tell me at that point in time where they were fishing there in the sea, they believe there were 153 types of fish. You know, most fishermen, when they take their net in, they count the weight of the fish. We count so many pounds. But here they're actually counting fish. Big fish, little fish, but 153. Almost one of every kind of fish that was out there in the sea. Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. And you're going to catch some that's Western European, Eastern European, Australian, Jews. We can go on and on. I'd catch them all. Out of every tribe, every kindred, every tongue, every nation, Jesus can save them all. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Just leave what you got and come fellowship with me. Eat with me. You see, tonight he is that living bread. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Faith, well, like this. Faith is that person believing to taste that the Lord is gracious. Can I get a witness tonight? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm going to embarrass Granny Louise. She makes some great peanut butter pie. My wife loves them. I watched Gina eat that pie. Boy, she looked like she was having a great time eating that pie. I said, is that good? She said, I love it. I could tell she liked it by the way she acted and the fact she went back for more and more and more and more. And I said, tell me how good it is. She said, you'll have to try it yourself. Because my words could never describe how good this is. Granny is wonderful. As that peanut butter pie was after I tasted it, said, you're right, boy, that is divine. That is wonderful. Our God has something so much better for us than what this old world has to offer or even Granny's divine peanut butter pies could ever offer. You can taste of His grace and of His mercy, and you'll find out just how good and just how gracious that He really is. Can I get a witness? Do you get around some people and you just say, boy, are you enjoying the church service? You've seen a man, they've been waving and shouting and testifying and wiping tears. They've been enjoying. Boy, you, oh, yes, I'm enjoying it. You look at some other of us. Will the sermon go on or not? I'm telling you, if you'd just come, but ain't nobody moved yet. You're just sitting there. Somebody needs to come and dine. Taste and see that the Lord is good. All right, let's look at the next one. Fifthly, in the book of Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Mark chapter 10, verse number 21. We have a rich young ruler who's come to Jesus. He's tried to keep some of the commandments. He's tried to be religious. And he said in verse 20, he said, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Well, if you believe in underlining in your Bible, that's a good place to underline. Because Jesus saw him as he was. He saw him as a sinner. He saw him trusting riches more than he would ever trust the Lord. But in spite of the fact that that young man's heart was already starting to decide, Jesus loved him. And he said to him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. I want to say to you tonight, church, if the world hated Jesus, if you are a servant of Jesus Christ, the servant is not greater than the Lord. If the Lord was hated and bore a cross, then the servant will be hated by the world, and there will be crosses to bear. Oh, that's where I get off, preacher. I don't want hardships. You don't understand. It'll be okay. You see, you'll never wear a crown until you learn to bear the cross. I see a lot of people nowadays laying down the cross, giving up on serving God, giving up on trying, saying it's just easy to stay at the house while these mean people in the church say amen. These folks that hurt you, oh yes. But you see, we're not here for the people. We're here for the God of the people. And he said, you take up your cross and you follow me. You understand how you take up a cross? It means you take it up and you put it on your back. And you leave where you are. And you follow him. And yes, you're going to be hard pressed. Oh yes, you may be spit upon. And oh yes, you may be ridiculed and rejected. Them people down there at the Bethel Baptist Church. Bunch of holy rollers. Bunch of crazy people meeting on Sunday night, ought to be home watching a football game. But I've had a whole lot better time here than I would have ever had in the stands of some football game or in front of my television this afternoon. And just keep following me. You see, as we do that, faith are the feet. Faith is the feet that come to Jesus and just follows him. But I don't know where he's going. It don't matter. Wherever he leads, I will follow. Can you say that tonight? Three people could truthfully say, Lord, where you lead, I'll follow. Somebody will say, God, help my feet by faith to follow him no matter what. There's where the blessing's at. While we're here in Mark, look back at chapter 6 and verse number 31. They've just buried John the Baptist. They're realizing there's a price they may have to pay for their faith in Christ. Verse 30, the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Now listen, they've just gone through a loss. John the Baptist was a brother in the Lord. And they're telling the Lord all that's happened, and they're very burdened about it. They're troubled by the loss. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They departed into a desert place by ship privately. I want to stop right here. You can read the rest of this later. But there's a time when you're busy for the Lord that you can get too busy. In fact, you'll get so busy, you'll get distracted and your mind's on the business and not on the God of the business. You'll get so burdened, you'll actually get frustrated. You'll become a bit discouraged. He says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to come. Look, ye yourselves apart unto a desert place and rest a while. Again, he says, I want you to get away from all the things that distract you. Just get alone with me. I'll never forget. Not done this in some time, and God forgive me for not. But I was at the house, and the Lord was burdening my heart about my walk with him, and I was so busy. I had so many things to do. And I said, Lord, I want you to help me. He said, you don't have time for me to help you. You're so busy trying to take care of things yourself, you don't have time for me. How can I help you? So I said, Lord, I want to make an appointment with you. He says, when? Tomorrow. What time? 9:00. Just me and you. Where? On the rock I used to go fishing on as a little boy in Spring Creek over in Madison County. I want to meet you, Lord, on that rock. 9:00 in the morning. He said, I'll be there. Don't you cancel. Don't you disappoint me. I'll be there. You may say, now, wait a minute, Preacher Darren. You could have took off up here to the crosses, or you could have went somewhere really close. You didn't have to drive an hour and a half away. Yes, I did. I had an appointment. Look at me funny. You made a hair appointment and kept it. Gave that girl $60. You had a doctor's appointment and kept it. Yeah, but I was sick. So was I. You had a dentist appointment. You know how you hate the dentist. You kept it. I got up the next morning. Man, my phone was ringing. Text messages coming in. Preacher Darren, the dog has got a, he's got a hangnail this morning and you need to. Preacher, it ain't really like that. No, it ain't. I'm just making it up. But I took that old cell phone and I said, old buddy, you just stay behind. Lay there. I've got an appointment. But I got over there to that rock. I got to praying, seeking his face. And you know, church, the next thing I knew, I sat there on that rock and I was watching the water go rippling by and I was beginning to think about the God of creation. And I seen a caterpillar. You may say, preacher, I'm so bored with this story. I seen a caterpillar, one of them old woolly worm-looking things come out, and I seen him stick his little body over the edge of that waterfall there, and I thought, son, you don't know what's getting ready to happen to you if you keep playing with that waterfall. You're getting ready to be fish bait. And I watched him real close. He kept edging over. He'd put his little head out there, and he'd get wet, and he'd pull back. And he put his head, and he thought, you know what, I think I can handle that. And he inched a little bit too far, and the weight of that water hit on him, and he lost his balance, and into the water he went. And I saw him go down, and I looked for a second, and all of a sudden I heard something go bloop. Big old fish grabbed him. He was fish bait. I said to him, I said, God, what does that mean? He said, son, you can't play with sin. You can't play with being too busy. The waters of this life will take you down. You can't handle it. You need to be with me for a while. You let me strengthen you. I took out my little New Testament. I sat there and started reading. Y'all wouldn't believe the messages. I wish I'd have took by faith a pen or a pencil and just begin to write down some of the things he began to speak to my heart. What'd you do? I just got alone with him. You won't even get alone with him in your closet. You are so busy. You can't even take time to kneel beside your bed anymore and just thank God for the blessings of the day and pray that he'd give you a safe and a restful night. You used to pray. You don't even do that anymore. Why? Because I got too busy with the Word. He says, I want you to come apart and I want you to rest a while. Preacher, I'm all for that. I'm all right, rest and relaxation. No, I'm talking about getting alone with him. Some of you ought to just go say, Lord, I'm going to the altar. I'm going to make an appointment with you. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going to meet you at. Guess what he'll do? He'll show up. I'm done right here. Matthew 25, verse 34. Matthew 25, verse 34. He's given the parable of the sheep and the goats. He says in verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You see, he's not redeemed you for you to live a life of insignificance. He's redeemed you because he has a divine purpose for your life. You are really, if you're saved, going to heaven. We're really going to have fellowship and glory. We're really going to see him. We're really going to see heaven. We're really going to put our feet on streets of gold. We're really going to worship before the Lamb of God. We're really going to sing praises to the Lord God forever and ever and ever. Sometimes we lose focus of that. There was a man, he saw three men in a boat capsize. He saw them struggling out in the water. He quickly dove in. He pulled one to safety. He swam back out, pulled the second to safety. He was exhausted, almost overwhelmed. Someone on shore said, you cannot go back. Somebody else is going to have to go this time. That person, why didn't that person go? Said, you cannot go back. There is no way you can go back, and try to discourage him. He jumped back in the water exhausted. He said, God, just let me get there. Let me try to help this person. And he got there, and he grabbed a hold of him, and he began to swim back to shore. And when he finally got back, and he got back to shore, he looked. And the last person in the water was his brother, his own brother. What if he had stopped? What if he had said, I'm in, that's good enough. We got one or two more in, ain't that good enough? His own kinfolk would have perished. Oh, you know what he's saying? One of these days, he's going to say, come away with me. And we're really going to leave. But because we know we're leaving, don't you want to take your family with you? Rahab the harlot did. She did everything in her power after she got right with God to make sure her family got in. Shouldn't we do the same? You know, you need to close your book of complaints against your family. And you need to open the book of praise. You stand to your feet. I think tonight the Lord sent somebody here. I want you just to come away. You see, faith is the ears that hears the voice of God saying, come away, and says, I'm leaving where I am, and I'm coming with Him. I believe He has something for me, and I want that. I'm hungry for that. I'm thirsting for that. Folks are coming. What about that? Coming. Folks are coming. He says, come. Come.